D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider. Elliot, yesterday, the Philadelphia Flyers fired John Tortorella. He's been around quite a bit, more than 1,600 games coached in the NHL. Here's a two-part question for you. The first, do you expect John Tortorella to keep coaching? And two, of the currently available veteran head coaches, who do you think is going to generate the most interest in the summertime for teams looking for a new bench boss?
Okay, two good questions. Number one, Adam, I believe this year was the 25th anniversary of Tortorella getting hired. And when I saw that, I actually sent him a note congratulating him. And he said, I'm not done yet either. So now I will say this. I believe the plan was, before recently, that it hadn't been finalized, but there was certainly reason to wonder that this would be his last season coaching the Flyers. You might join the front office. I don't believe anything was finalized, but I think it had been discussed as a possible route. Obviously, that's not going to happen anymore. The one thing I do believe is that people who've worked with him before, they tell you, you hire him when you're in a really bad way and you need him to clean things up. He's excellent at that, one of the best. And there are some teams around this league that are a bit of a mess. And I can't say for sure he's going to coach Adam, but I think teams are going to talk about him. I absolutely think his name is going to come up. So that's the answer to question A. Question B, I think a really hard one with all of this is, what is Joel Quenneville's future? Stan Bowman is back being a general manager. I believe Joel Quenneville would like to coach, and I think one of the biggest questions is going to be is, are teams willing to make that hire? And because I think if they are, he's probably at the top of the list.
Elliot, last night the Predators were eliminated from playoff contention after losing in regulation to the St. Louis Blues. Your colleague Pierre LeBrun wrote at The Athletic today. He had a story about coaching storylines to keep an eye on. He wrote about Andrew Brunette that his expectation, or that the expectation, is that Brunette will be back behind the bench next season for the Predators. Is that your expectation as well?
The only reason I would hesitate. Look, I have no reason to believe differently. Let me just say that. I have no reason to believe differently at this time, Adam. But the one thing that we have seen the Predators do before is sit and think, right? And say, okay, let's sit down, think about where we are, think about where we're going, think about what our lineup is going to look like, and make our decisions. Like, the Predators are a team that hasn't always acted quickly. They've waited before, they've pondered, they've considered things, and then make a decision. So the only way I see it being different, or one way I could see it being different, is if everybody sits down at the end of the season, thinks about it, and says, this isn't going to work. That's the only way I see it being different. You guys are there. What do you think?
Well, I think, wouldn't we all agree that how they've played has improved slightly, and they're playing without Roman Josi, which is a huge cog in what they're doing. But it still doesn't look great. It doesn't look dramatically better. And they've lost a lot of games in the same fashion. Last night would be one where there are lapses within a game that cost them in a game that otherwise they had a chance to win. And, of course, they have no margin for error because they don't score. They're among the lowest scoring teams in the league, which continues to be a mystery. So it seems a little more up in the air. That it seems a little less, let's just put it this way, it seems a little less clear-cut to, I think, a lot of the fan base than it would to LeBron and that specific report.
I would think this too, Willie. Let's just say for argument's sake that Pierre does his research, which he does. I don't think he's writing this for no reason. Even if you're thinking of making a coaching change, I don't know that if you're Nashville, you're sending those signals. You know, especially Barry, he's a lifelong coach. He understands the stresses of the position. He thinks like a coach still in a lot of ways. I don't think he'd tip his hand while games are still being played, too.
I think that's fair. And I think that's probably the best thing that Andrew Burnett has going for him is that, A, Barry Trotz hand-picked him, and B, Barry Trotz remembers being a coach that benefited from the patience that David Poyle and the organization showed in him in the early years.
Yes. So, yes, I agree with that. I agree with all that. I think it's interesting. I haven't seen Pierre's article yet. I was not an early riser today. I had a late flight home last night. I haven't seen Pierre's article yet, and I'll go through it. But it's not like Pierre to write that kind of stuff uninformed. I will say that.
I will read to you, Elliot, the part that we're referencing.
And it's a small snippet,
right? It's a small snippet of a larger article. LeBron wrote, quote, Burnett has two more years left after this season, plus an option year. My understanding, LeBron's understanding, of the situation with the Nashville Predators that is that if GM Barry Trotz had wanted to make a change, it would have already happened. He believes in Brunette and thinks the adversity this season will serve him well. The expectation is that Brunette will be back behind the bench next season.
You see, I think all of that is correct, Adam. Like I said, though, like the one thing is, like Barry's talked about it on your station before, and I've heard this too, that before the deadline, he sat down with everyone and said, is everybody here still believe in this? Does everybody here still want to be here? And he was told yes, and you know, no one got traded. Even O'Reilly, and teams did take their runs at O'Reilly, at the end of the day, they obviously hung on to him. However, I still think at the end of the season, when they do their year-end reviews and they do their exit meetings, I'm still curious to see what comes out of that, because you're not running it back the same way. You're making changes, you're doing things differently, maybe you're playing differently. And one of the things I've gotten used to over the years, like Andrew Burnett won a President's Trophy in Florida and they waited like a while after they got knocked out in the playoffs to announce that they were changing coaches. And I remember at the time I criticized that on our podcast, and Bill Zito, the GM of the Panthers, who I think is a really good GM, he took issue with that with me. He said that was not fair criticism. And I said, you have to make a decision quicker than that. And he said, no, I don't. My responsibility is to my team, and I had to make a thorough decision, and it was a hard one. It wasn't an easy one, but I thought it was the right one for the team. And I think about that kind of stuff a lot, guys, because, like, what happens if Trotz sits down at the end of the season and he has meetings and he learns some things, or people's minds have changed, or whatever happens, and they get to a position where they say, you know what, it's a couple weeks after the season, but this is not the same picture we have now. And I've always remembered that conversation with Zito, and that's why I always hedge my bets.
And that is what Barry Trotz did, Elliot, with John Hines. John Hines wasn't fired until the end of May of the 2023 of 2023. So I
was referring to, Adam, but I couldn't remember who it was. I knew there was a guy they waited on, but I couldn't remember. Yeah.
Yes. So Burnett's been on both sides of the of the ledger there. And once it worked in his favor and once it didn't.
And to your point, Elliot, when the Predators made that decision, I had the same reaction you did. I was like, if they weren't going to bring back John Hines, why wait until the end of May? I had that same reaction initially.
Right, but as it turned out, it was because Brunette was still coaching with the Devils, and once they were eliminated, that made him more eligible. So there was a timetable involved. But Elliot is really interesting because I think at the center of this is what I just threw out there is Barry Trotz knows that patience was big in his development as a coach, where he was the coach of the expansion Predators, and most people, David Poile loves telling the story. How many people said, hey, how long is it going to be before you fire your first coach, right? Because if you look through the years, those teams didn't win throughout the league, and it was just a matter of time before they tried something else. But Barry Trotz grew right out of that, and we know the history there. But at the same time, this is the first time I think Andrew Brunette has gone through a struggle as a head coach, right? You documented at Florida and then his first year here. Everything just fell into line. They had great success. And so this is where I think Barry Trotz is watching. How do you handle when things don't go well?
Exactly. And he's talked about that. And I think that's a good argument. Like, I cannot argue with that argument. And the one thing I really think is, I think this has been a really hard year. Like, obviously, for the fans, it's been a really hard year.
Yeah, it's the hardest. I don't think there's any question.
Sometimes I think you really need to decompress before you can't make decisions when you're mad. And I think the other thing, too, Trotz talked to all his players. Sometimes it's hard to talk to all your players when you're in season. Like, that's what someone said to me. He wonders, too, is, if everybody just, at the end of the year, everybody decompresses and you think for a little bit, does anybody's mind change? And I think that's another thing we're going to watch out here for, too.
I want to follow up on one that Adam asked you about, Joel Quenneville, because you brought up something interesting. We're getting further removed time-wise. Like, you could say he's paid a significant time out, if you will, because of the aftermath of why he was let go by the Panthers, the whole issue that happened in 2010 with the Blackhawks, and there's still stuff going on for that lawsuit-wise, I understand. But now that Bowman is back in, what percentage of teams do you think would be open to hiring Quenneville? Like, if there's 10 teams, because it doesn't apply to some teams, right? They're happy with their coach. But let's say there's 10 teams that might have an opening. How many of the 10 do you think would be open for Quenneville because of his unique credentials?
You know what? Honestly, I would hesitate to even wager a guess on that, really. I think that, Quenneville's been reinstated. Bowman is back. And, for some people, I think that's enough. And for others, it isn't. And right. I think you have to... I would really hesitate to play. It's a percentage on it because I think it would be a guess, and I don't think this is the thing that's smart to guess on. But I think he wants to coach. I think he's very interested in coaching, and I think it really depends on the individual organization. How do they feel?
And Elliot, hasn't he
with him go?
And hasn't he gone through a process to learn from the mistake? Didn't the league sort of have him go through that behind the scenes? I couldn't tell you the details. I feel like I've read about that, though.
I think there was something, but I think, like, Bowman, what he did was he did some stuff on his own with Sheldon Kennedy, who's a significant figure up here. And I know that Sheldon Kennedy advocated very strongly on behalf of Bowman. So I think it also depends on, who else advocates for you in that way.
Elliot, one thing I've been wondering about Joel Quenneville. So, as you mentioned, Stan Bowman, who was the architect of those Blackhawks teams, is now the GM of the Edmonton Oilers. And being the GM of the Edmonton Oilers is a big job. That is an important job. But Stan Bowman is not as much of a front-facing entity than a coach. A coach is standing on the bench 82 games a year. A coach is having news conferences multiple times a day on game days versus Stan Bowman, who can recede into the background if he wants to. I'm just wondering if that element plays into it, because if a team hires Quenneville, he's going to be on the bench 82 games. He's going to be the camera's going to be on him every game. He's going to answer questions before games, after games, during practices. I'm wondering if that element plays into this decision as well.
I think it's a great question, Adam, because yes, I think there's something to that. Like, the one thing though is, like, whenever Bowman does media, and as Willie mentioned, there's another lawsuit coming up now, and you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Like, I'm not going to be weighing in on that all, in the sense that I don't really know what where that's going to go legally. But it's not like every time Bowman speaks, he gets asked about it, and so it doesn't come up all the time. I don't know if it would be any different for Quenneville. I mean, obviously, if a team hired him, he would have to answer those questions at the beginning, at the initial press conference. The team and would obviously have to be very comfortable with what Quenneville's done and feel that he's learned what he needed to learn. I don't know. It's a really good question, Adam, but seeing Bowman and how he does his media, it doesn't come up every time. So I don't know if it would be any different for a head coach. Like, at the beginning, certainly it would be a major topic, and those would be very fair questions to ask, but I don't know if it would stay that way.
I think of it more as sort of a public relations thing, Elliot, less so about him being asked about it, but just Joel Quenneville being on a bench every game. And that's sort of the PR aspect of it, and how that would reflect on the team versus him being asked about it regularly.
That is absolutely, like, I think if I absolutely do believe that if that was not an issue for teams, he would have been hired already, right? Like, so, like, I do think that that's a thing, and everybody has to decide how comfortable they are with that. Like, there's no question he can coach. He's a great coach, and I look at a lot of situations here, and I think that he could fix a lot of the situations. There's no question about that in my mind. What you talk about is very real, and it's very true, and every organization has to decide that for themselves.
Elliot, last one for you. We've had a really interesting run of games here, and it does sort of play into what's the best way to play with the personnel that you have. Nashville has played St. Louis three times in the last 10 days, and there have been two of the games, and really all three have had some of the same dynamics, where Nashville ends up having the puck more than St. Louis. They outshoot St. Louis for large portions of the game. St. Louis ends up with somewhere between 18 and 20 shots. But St. Louis won all three games. Nashville really had last night's game and had a lapse for 22 seconds and gave up the tying goal and the go-ahead goal. But the observation has been made where St. Louis packs it in. They don't let you get anything good. They'll let you have the puck. And then all of a sudden, boom, they counter and they have three on twos. And you contrast that with a win that the Predators had where they gave up 35 shots and about double that in attempts, and they somehow beat the Carolina Hurricanes. But especially as it relates to UC Saros, who's such an important part of going forward. Some goalies, and Chris Mason talks about this a lot, he likes predictability, but there are some he thinks predictability is the number one thing. But number two, some goalies tend to like facing more shots than, say, 18 shots. Nashville, this is our stat we came up with last night, there's been 10 games this year where they've given up 21 shots on goal or less. They've only won two of those games, which is really weird.
Yeah, it is really weird. It's a great question, Willie. I mean, what was that game a few years ago where Saros made like 60 saves?
He made 64 saves. That was the last time he played at Carolina. He made 64 saves, and they won. He only had to make 34 the other night.
Maybe you guys should do that more often. Like, I remember.
Well, Andrew Burnett jokes about that. He goes, I don't get it, but I'll take it, you know?
you know, it's fun. I remember, I think I joked with Curtis Joseph about this once, and you know, he's like, it's tough to say. He goes, it's tough to tell your team, hey, can you guys leak a few more chances because I'm getting bored back here. So it's really a tough one to do. You know, I think that one of the teams, like, one of the things I do believe is I believe a lot more in shot quality than shot quantity. And, like, in a defense like that, the one you're talking about where St. Louis is playing, first of all, they are going to defend the middle of the ice. So, and every team talks about that, protect the house. And if you're going to give, you'll always give up the long shots more than the close-in ones. Like, that, those are just harder shots to score on, especially if you don't have a tip or a screen. The other thing, too, is that you talk about predictability. When a team's playing like that, whether it's Binnington or Hofer in goal for the Blues, they generally know where the shots are going to come from, right? So that adds to the level of predictability. So I do. There are some teams that are definitely willing to play rope-a-dope and take their chances. I don't really have a great answer for you, except to say that I think that can do as a team is say, this is the way we're going to defend, and we're going to stick to it. And unless you're a team that's getting pumped on a lot of nights because you don't control the puck or you can't play defense, but you're going to have nights like that where things just work that way. And I don't know if it's voodoo or what it is, but I'll tell you this, when teams lose games where they outshoot opponents, like Vancouver had one last week where they outshot the Rangers like 39-12 and they lost 4-3, those just tear your heart out. Like they just tear your heart out in those games.
Yep, and the Blues have that mojo going right now. You talk about voodoo, whatever it is, they just have things rolling. And it's very similar to how the Predators felt at this time last year. And now they're on the opposite side.
Well, I'll tell you this, though, too, Willie. If you look at St. Louis's underlying numbers since Jim Montgomery got hired, even though they're giving up shots in those kinds of games, the quality of scoring chances
yes.
they're giving up as opposed to the ones they're getting, their numbers are very good.
Very
so
good.
They are defending the good, the higher scoring areas very well.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. 615-737-1025. It's almost 12:30. It's Friday, which means it's time to ask D-Mace, 615-737-1025. So make sure you get your questions in for Derek on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's best deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. Just in time for the NCAA tournament, score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's time to ask D-Mace. 615-737-1025. Call us, text us on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Before we get there, Wes in Clarksville says that one day during the week we should have an Ask Willie segment. What would we ask Willie?
You know, I substituted once or twice over a summer for that when D-Mace was on vacation. And we did have some fun with that. There was a lot of, like, 90s Vanderbilt questions, you know. There was a lot of minor league baseball questions. But, yeah, I think as a pinch hitter, I could do the job.
Jerry is on our
Once
phone.
A week, you might. There's only yes. so many times you can ask about my 1 3-pointer that I scored against Indiana.
Hey, but that was the greatest 1 3-pointer you had.
Yeah.
The glory days.
Willie over here like Uncle Rico. And
you see that mountain right over there? I can throw it over this football over the mountains.
Yes. And Uncle Rico, he's bad now on the White Lotus. He's
oh,
bad.
Oh, man. Is he ever.
Jerry. Okay, y'all can't tell it. I hadn't seen it
oh,
yet.
Oh, man.
Jerry
good.
Is on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jerry, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. D-Mace.
Yes.
If you could be on the show, would it be Dances with the Stars? Or would it be The Masked Singer?
Thanks for the call, Jerry. Dancing with the Stars.
We are off to a good start.
For the Masked Singer.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Can I guess what you're going to guess? What you're going to say? I'm going to say Masked Singer.
Okay.
Because you can, but you can, but you're also, you know how to groove. During the breaks, I see you grooving.
I got some grooving.
Do your hips lie,
okay?
Denise?
Excuse me?
Do your hips don't lie?
Hips don't lie, man. My hips don't lie, man. They ain't like they used to be, but they still don't lie. Okay. Ironically enough, I have participated in Nashville's Dancing with the Stars. It was for a charity years and years ago. And I did well. Ultimately didn't win, but because it wasn't actually about dancing. It was more about how much money you're raising. So, you know. But the person that won ended up doing a fabulous job as well.
And who was that? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I think it was the Bales Bond woman. What's her name?
The Bales?
Yeah,
the Bond woman?
Yeah, she's had, like, billboards on buses all the time. I talk to y'all after this. And, yeah, but she had billboards on buses all the time. So, but it was for a great charity, and all of us did a wonderful job.
Not sure where
job.
This is.
So,
that she no. she could dance.
Yeah, she could dance. So, but I don't think her dancing was no better than anybody else's that were like okay. She was just. But she could dance. Her hips didn't lie. Let's just say that my hips don't lie. Her hips didn't lie. But I would do the Masked Singer.
That's what I thought you would do.
I would do that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would do that one because it's like I'm covered up. I'm singing because people's fear is the crowd seeing them when they're singing.
Right.
Well, you're not seeing me. You don't even know who I am until afterwards. So I would do the Masked Singer. Yes.
I haven't watched that show in a long time, but I'm always fascinated by the celebrities that they're able to dig out from the corners of the world that you have forgotten about.
Yeah, they do that a lot. So, but I would do the Masked Singer.
Thomas in Nashville says Grumpy's Bail Bonds. Was it Grumpy's Bail Bonds?
Yes. It was, I think it was Grumpy's. I think it may have been Grumpy's Bail Bonds. I need to look that up.
Not to be confused with Chico's Bail Bonds from the Bad News Bears.
No.
Oh, Walter Matthau.
Okay.
No.
All right. Okay. We're getting lots of texts about this. I'm going to read the most appropriate one.
Okay.
Okay.
And I didn't want it to go this way. Believe
Hair
me.
Hair Metal Henry says, Grumpy's Bail Bonds, Leah Hulan, very large chest. You can't miss her.
Hey, listen.
That was the most appropriate text.
I just said but she had the billboards on the buses.
Okay.
And when we pulled up, a bus was sitting outside the venue with her billboard on it.
There she
it
is.
It was like
I
a tour
her.
Bus. It was like a tour bus.
There, so is that said, her right there?
Yep, absolutely. That's
and she
her.
Won.
And she won. She ended up winning. She ended up raising the most money, too. But
why is he,
I think
why is he grumpy? Why is the guy from Bail, why is he grumpy?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because they got to give you
Would
money.
You not be grumpy if you had a bail bond?
I mean, but he's the one dispensing them. He's not the one that needs to be bailed out.
Yeah, you're right. But I guess it's if you're grumpy, come get your bails.
Yeah,
bond.
If you're a grumpy.
Or you're bonded out.
Yeah.
Willie, same question. For kicks and giggles, would you rather do Masked Singer or Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, I got no shot in Dancing with the Stars. So I'm not a great singer, but I feel like by default, I'd have to try that.
His hips wouldn't lie either.
Yeah. I mean, I got about three moves. But after that, I have no shot after that. I always try to get my friend. I have a niece that's a really good dancer. I said, just give me one or two simple moves if I'm at a wedding, you know, just so I don't look.
Two-step, Willie. Just yeah.
You don't want to look, you don't yeah. look like
everywhere
a lane.
You go.
You don't want to look like a lane dancing.
Right. Yeah. Just avoid
just
being
two-step.
That guy. Yeah.
And don't right. two-step. Don't get out of step. And don't two-step yeah. too fast. Just two-step.
Yeah. I can do the basics.
Yeah,
I got the basics.
Cover. All right. Here's
my wife and I, Aaron, we took three dance lessons for $15. Mm-hmm. To do our dance at the wedding, and it wasn't just like a slow dance. We did a little routine, simple stuff. That was a great investment of $15.
But I would
we
dare
still talk about.
I
it.
Would dare to say that Aaron has more groove in her.
Oh, there's no question.
Absolutely,
there's no question.
Here's another good question from Joey in Bellevue, Derek. If you count all of the guys on the radio for 102.5,
yes.
There are 8 hosts. If you were to meet. If you meet on a random court for a 4-on-4 basketball game, who would you have on your team?
Willie definitely would have.
Well,
Willie
would
team.
Be. Willie's
That's
the ringer.
The
Willie's the ringer. Yes.
I'm getting old.
I had Willie. I had Rex. Rex Road. So it'd be myself, Willie, Rex Road.
The old timers over here.
I big Joe, because he's gonna
space
get up to
eater.
Space eater. He's boxing you. I ain't getting around.
You
big
can't
Joe.
Trust Rex Rhodes' knees at this point.
But Rex Rhodes, I ain't gotta trust him. Well, set up on the corners and hit the 3-pointer. That's all you need to do.
Can we have a 45 and up league? Is that or 40 and up? Like
so,
what's
this
our
team would be? It would be Derek, uh-huh, Willie, and the Joes.
Yep.
Basically. Versus me, Chase, Robbie, and Jared.
Oh, we adopted.
Oh, yeah, that's already.
It wouldn't be close.
That's already a win.
I like our chances.
It wouldn't
like
be close. And I'd even give y'all a bench of Nick, both of the Knicks. And David. We'll throw David in there. Y'all can have a bench.
Y'all would show up like in that scene in Along Came Polly where they're playing pickup. You all will show up in your rec specs and your right, and your tube socks and your short shorts.
And y'all will be laughing and then proceed to get throttled.
Big Joe.
Y'all going to bring him back.
Underrated
movie. Gonna bring
That's
back.
A pretty solid movie.
Big Joe would be the one who takes his shirt off and he's all sweaty and rubbing
man.
Up on everybody.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, so Willie, Derek, and the Joes versus Adam, Jared, Robbie, and Chase.
And the Knicks. And David.
And the producers, basically.
Yes. Y'all can have them. We're still dominating. Just give us a couple of timeouts.
Yeah.
We'll be good.
A couple. More like 20.
Oh, man. 615-737-1025. If you have more questions for Derek, get them in. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you out there to tune into Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Albany Firebirds. Pregame starts at 4:30 and kickoff is at 5 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The game, we are live out at First Horizon Park. The Nashville Sounds open their 2025 season tonight against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. I just like saying Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. First pitch at 6:35. It's going to be a beautiful night. Before we went on the air, Willie, you mentioned this when you were talking with Jeff Hem, when we were talking with Jeff Hem, that I believe this is going to be the second opening day at First Horizon Park with no rain. That is their estimate. So it's a beautiful day here in Germantown. Come on out, have some food, watch some baseball.
Some libations.
Enjoy all of the things that baseball can offer. We are here at First Horizon Park. By the way, I just want to say this before we get back to the questions. I think that y'all are not giving my team enough credit. Me, Robbie, Jared, and Chase, I think we could hang with y'all for a little bit. On the basketball court.
Wow.
Have you seen Chase
Cooper
Flags
on the bench? Is that part of your bench?
Exactly. Bring in somebody like Rudy Kalis. They got an awesome jump shot. Like, at least he would get y'all some points.
Rex Road, Rex Road screams chucker to me. Rex Road. Rex Road.
Don't underestimate Rex.
Rex Road is going to take shots that should not be taken. He'll go 3 of 21. He 3 of 21 from the field. I think Rex Road would sabotage your team.
No, because Rex is he got some of that green and white in him, so he ain't sabotaging anything.
I think pulled muscles and injuries would be a factor for our team.
That's why we have to be half court. Half court. And just to say, if y'all are winning, just to think, if y'all were winning a game, I think we already have built-in excuses like Willie can come up lame with a hamstring. You know, I can say my knee started hurting. You know, we got built-in
excuses.
All of y'all young.
Jared is the one who you just put in to foul people. Like, I just need 5 fouls. Jared, you're in. 5 fouls. I digress.
Are we shooting free throws after 5 fouls, or
no blood,
playground?
No foul.
No blood, no foul.
No blood, no foul.
I'm going to tell you this. Y'all will have no low post presence whatsoever.
Hey, when I started Big playing basketball,
Chase would get mauled
when
by
I
Big Joe.
When I started playing basketball,
Big Joe started throwing them lineman elbows at him. It'd be a wrap.
Joe would be playing unfair.
I was the low post presence on my teams growing up because I was tall. I was taller back then. Not that I've gotten shorter, but I had my growth spurt early. So I've got a wide array of post moves.
Well, if Willie's guarding you, Willie's what, like 5 inches taller than you? You're not getting up your post move. You're not.
I'll have to get Willie to bite on the pump fake. That's
listen,
all I'm saying.
What I know about older individuals that have played basketball at some level, especially the college level, when you put them on a court, they change for some reason. They may not be able to go the whole game, but man, they start them elbows start getting it going, and they turn into something else, you know. So yeah, y'all may not score a point, man. Y'all may not score a point.
All right,
man, there's a lot of trash talking.
We might need to make this happen. We'll find a way to do this. So earlier we were talking about the Titans' decision to move to Titans blue in their uniforms. Bob and Mount Juliet mentioned this earlier in the program, and I want Derek to respond as you were talking about this situation. He says, Derek's opinion means nothing. Bud Adams owned the team, and it was personal to him that Houston not dare get it back. If that was your dad, would you 100% go against his wishes? I wouldn't. Bud Adams took the Oilers records and logos and colors with him out of spite, and you all know he'd never give that back.
What did I ever say? He was – what, not saying that was his, he take? Yeah. Please listen to me when I talk, please. I never said it belonged to Houston, give it to Houston. I've always – now, I have said, listen – the two organizations, as far as their records, I said that should be retired. Like, it shouldn't be attached to the Tennessee Titans because it does confuse the Titan fan, especially the new Titan fan. So, again, listen to me when I'm talking. I never once said that, you know, this wasn't Bud's, or if I was the son, I wouldn't give up the color. I would do just what Ms. Amy's doing right now. I would make it a part of my permanent color just to spite you, just so you won't get it. Because it's my dad's. Just like my son would do with things that we inherit, that we pass down to them. Some things they're just not going to give up. So, again, but you're right. My opinion in the big scheme of things really doesn't matter. But I was agreeing with the Adams, you know, in regards to this particular thing. People. It doesn't cost anything to pay attention when people are talking.
And you wore the Oilers uniforms, correct?
And I love it, yes.
Okay, because one texter wants to know how you felt about wearing them.
Yeah, because I grew up watching, just like Willie, yep. I grew up watching the Love You Blue with Earl Campbell, Warren Moon, the receivers from
Haywood Jeffries,
all those guys, Ernest Givens, Lorenzo White, who came from Michigan State.
Drew Hill,
I grew up loving that and watching it. I was devastated when they lost to Buffalo.
Wasn't that an R&B group, Drew Hill?
Yeah, it was. Okay. You're right. But I was devastated that they lost to Buffalo. Why? Because they had the game won, and Warren Moon was about to get another step closer to the Super Bowl, and it didn't happen. So I love the blue color. I'm glad they got it implemented into the color, but it always was a part of our uniforms. So what they're doing, I'm glad they are doing it, because now they're staking claim to a color, you know, to the Love You Blue color that their father put on uniforms as a Houston Oiler. So I'm in agreement with it. I love it.
We were talking about this with Jeff Hem off the air. People, well, sports fans specifically, they love arguing about jerseys.
Yes.
It is. I mean, what did Jerry Seinfeld famously say?
You root for the clothes.
You root for the clothes. You root for the laundry.
That's how so many people pick their teams in March Madness. By the colors.
Yep.
Or the mascots. Which mascot would win in a fight? What would the NCAA tournament look like if you were picking the fiercest mascot?
You know who would win.
Who's that?
Spartan.
I don't know. I could think of some other mascots that could win it. Yeah.
No. We've been proven to, you know, slice up Gators.
You know, we also know that some Blue Raiders could beat some Spartans as well. So,
how about the Blue Raiders?
True blue, baby.
What if the Blue Raiders face the Red Raiders? What's the advantage there?
It happened already. History. I believe that alone. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Demons.
I shouldn't have did that.
Golly.
It just came out. I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that, listeners.
Oh, man.
And I'm stopping it right there. But you set it up on a tee, okay?
Okay.
There you go.
You need to change your heart, man.
All right.
No, I'm just saying.
I think we have to go to break. 615-737-1025. Let that marinate with everybody. 615-737-1025. We are out at First Horizon Park. The Nashville Sounds open their season tonight against Jacksonville. Come out and enjoy some baseball. It will be a beautiful day. It is a beautiful day. You can tune into the game starting at 6:20 pregame. First pitch at 6:35 on 94.9. The Fan Sounds Baseball on 94.9. The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. But coming up next, we had some great Sweet 16 games last night. We've got a big one tonight around here, Tennessee and Kentucky, Part 3. We will discuss all things college basketball coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.